Turn, if you will, to the book of Exodus. Let's start reading in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you've gathered us together like you have this morning. Thank you, Lord, for each one that decided to come and hear your word today. I pray, Lord, that their trip wouldn't be in vain, but they'd get something out of your word. I pray that Christians would be strengthened and blessed. I pray, Lord, that those that don't know you would have their eyes open. And I pray that you'd have mercy on their souls and that they'd call upon your name and be saved. Lord, we pray that you would get all the honor and the glory out of what's done here today. I pray that you'd be with the things that I say, Lord, that they'd be things that would please you. Lord, get honor and glory out of your name today. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for our sins and taking sinful, wicked creatures like us and allowing us to worship you and to come into your presence. Oh, Lord, may your name and your name alone be lifted up this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been one of many favorite stories of mine from the book of Exodus for a long time. I was recently going through some old sermon notes from a long time ago, and I think I probably preached on this passage probably 5 or 6 years ago. But something else stood out to me, and so I'm taking some things that I preached back in, and I'm looking at some other things that I saw. There was a phrase in here that just really touched my heart. I was very thankful for. That phrase is found in verse 12. Right towards the end of the verse, it says that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, in the passage here, the story that we just read, this is the first conflict that Israel has had after going into the wilderness. This is the first real major aggression that they've had against them. You see that before, God had taken them and he delivered them through the Red Sea, and he took care of the Egyptian army. There wasn't a sword raised in all of the land of Israel. None of the Jews lifted up a sword against Egypt. God killed the Egyptian army. God drowned them in the depths of the sea. God was the one who delivered them. And you know, that's a lot like our salvation. Isn't it true that God himself and God himself alone is the one that delivered us from sin? You and I were in bondage to Egypt, and there was nothing that we could do about it. There was absolutely nothing. We were bound. We were powerless to do anything. And God reached down and he just saved us from sin. There's nothing you did about it. A lot of people like to be lifted up in pride and say that they had something to do with their salvation. But I'm going to tell you something. You didn't have anything to do with your salvation. If you realize what a tremendous miracle it is even to be able to hear the gospel and be saved, what kind of a position you're in even to be able to hear the word of God this morning. How many people don't get even to hear one clear gospel message, and yet you get to hear, and not only that, but God has mercy on your soul, and he allows you to live long enough to respond to him. You ought to thank God for his salvation. Don't be lifted up in pride and think that you had something to do with it because of your faithfulness in seeking him, because of all of what you've done. God saved you in spite of yourself. And it's all God. And they didn't fight the Egyptian army. They didn't do anything. But you come to this passage right here, and all of a sudden there's a turn, there's a change of events. Because you see now, Moses, he's got these children of, he's got Amalek, which could come from several different sources, and we'll look at it. He's got these people that are coming against him and fighting him. And so now he says, choose out men, and we're going to go fight them. You see, this is a different fight. This is a different kind of deliverance than what they had before. You see, now God is fighting in them where before he fought for them. And I want to show you how this relates to the Christian life. I want to show you how this relates to a battle that is so much misunderstood among many Christians. There is a popular misconception that once you become a Christian, then you're not going to have any more temptations with sin. There's also another popular misconception that a Christian can elevate himself to the place where he is immune from temptation. I want you to know, if you meet anybody that puts on that holy air and puts their hands, you know, and talks gentle and says that sin just doesn't bother them anymore, you can just pretty much determine that they're a liar. It doesn't matter how holy someone is. It doesn't matter how long somebody's walked with the Lord. Sin is a problem for a Christian. Temptation is a problem. Now, I can honestly say that there are some sins that God delivered me from that at least right now, preaching right now, this minute, this second, I have no desire to go back into those sins. But you know what? Amazing that the flesh doesn't change. Do you know that? Did you know that God didn't come to save the flesh? He came to save your soul. Some people get confused that after they get saved, they say, well, you know, if I'm saved now, if I belong to God, why this conflict in me? And maybe the Israelites were thinking the same thing. You know, if God delivered us, why do we have to fight now? I mean, why another conflict? But I want you to know something. When God saved you, He didn't save that old wicked nature of yours and clean it up and refurbish it and make it look like new. You weren't an antique that God shined up a little bit and made look good. He had to trash the whole old man. He had to trash your whole old nature. And He had to make a new man in you. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 5:17. But you guys are really in 2 Corinthians, right? You're looking at me like you never made that mistake before, right? Look what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. You know what that tells us? That when you call on the Lord and you ask Him to save you, you repent of your sins, that He makes you a completely new creature in Christ. He makes you completely new. There is a new man that comes up inside of you. It is brand spanking new. Amen. It's not like the old man. But you know something? There's an interesting thing is that you and I walk around in this body, but we're a new creature. It's kind of like a paradox. I am now a new creature in Christ, but does that do away with all my temptations? No, there is still an old nature within me. Do you know that? Anybody else experience that besides me? I tell you something. One of the first things that God did after I get saved was tempted me about whether or not I was really saved. There was a conflict that started raging in me. Well, no, there's no way I could be saved. Now I was going back and forth. And so finally I decided, you know what? I need to call on the Lord again. And so I did. I called on the Lord that night. And I called on the Lord the next night. And I called on the next night after that. And there was this doubt raging in me. That doubt didn't come from the Holy Spirit. That doubt didn't come from what God put inside of me. That doubt came from my old nature, from my old flesh. And I was doubting. I said, well, maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not. I was going back and forth. You know what I finally had to do? Was just trust what God said. And so I came to, it was my first major temptation. It was my first real major struggle. I finally had to just believe what God said, and I believed it, and I was able to get peace. I was able to believe that I was saved. And if I said, well, you know, I've called the Lord three times. If it didn't do it after three times, you know, well, I'm just going to go on and live and believe in God. But the truth is that temptation is not a sign that you're lost. I've heard people say all the time, well, so-and-so fell into sin. I guess they're lost. You know, that could be true. There are a lot of people. I would be willing to bet I would have a hard time believe we have this many people in the room here today and someone isn't lost. Or maybe there's even someone in here who everybody else thinks they're a Christian, but they look inside themselves and they realize that they're not. That's true. But I'm telling you something, Christians are capable of anything. You know why? Because for the present time, there are two natures that coexist inside of you. The Holy Spirit has taken up His dwelling in you. If you don't understand that, I mean, I wish I could have the time to teach that principle here this morning, that now Christ lives in you. Boy, that's a tremendous truth. That's something that no other peoples in all of history have ever been able to say in the Old Testament. I mean, right now, in today's day and age, Christ promises that He will come and take up His dwelling in you. That means that there's a Holy Spirit inside of you now that can convict you of sin, that can provide this conflict. You see, when you were off in the world, there was no conflict. There was nothing inside of you combating the right and the wrong. Now that the Holy Spirit is inside of you, there is a conflict that goes on. So don't just assume that just because now there's this tremendous conflict and you're being tempted to do evil. I've had brothers that have been so burdened. Because every time that they get down on their knees to pray, some of the most wicked thoughts in the world start coming into their minds. Like, man, how can I even be saved? How can I be holy? How can this be happening? And so for some, it makes them give up. But you know, don't give up. Amen. You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign that Amalek's coming. You know, they're in the wilderness. What did Moses just do? You read the passages before? What happened? Man, tremendous victory. All the children of Israel were complaining because they were in the wilderness and there was no river. There was no lake. There was no oasis. There was no water. And they were chiding with Moses. And Moses did. He took that rod and he just struck the rock and water came out of that rock. The New Testament will tell you that rock is Christ. Oh man, that water started flowing out of that rock and people started drinking. You talk about a spiritual victory. God wrought a miracle for them that day. Just like God takes care of us in so many different ways. But you know what happens sometime? You'll get a miracle that happens in your life. God does something good and then right away you get opposition. Right away there's some sort of a temptation. Oh man, I'm telling you, it's just proof. It's just proof that there's two natures dwelling inside of you. There's the old man and there's the new man. God, by the way, has destroyed the old man and God has raised up the new man to walk in newness of life. But while you're here in this body, you're going to experience exactly what Israel experienced. You're going to experience conflict and temptation. And believe me, you're just going to have to make some choices. I wish I could tell you that the Christian life was something that's so easy and you just simply trust God and everything's going to work out okay. Well, that's true. You do trust God, everything will work out okay. But it doesn't mean that it's going to come easy. You think the Christian life is easy? You take yourself and you belong to the devil, and the devil is the god of this world, and the devil runs everything on the face of this earth, and so then you take him out of his hands, and he's mad about that, and you pull him out, and then you make a man a new creature in Christ Jesus that doesn't like the world, that's not of the world, that's not part of the world, and then you're in direct opposition to everything this world is, and you don't think you're going to have conflict? Even among your old man. And then came Amalek. I want you to know something. When good things come along, you can just expect temptation to be right behind on its heels. And you're going to have to make some choices. Back in Exodus chapter 17, it says, then came Amalek. Now, I want to talk about the battle between these two natures. I want to talk about the conflict between these two natures. Because if you see them for what they are, you can actually get victory over temptation. You're not resigned to live a defeated life. You're not resigned to just roll over and play dead when temptation comes along.
Right.
Do you know that you don't have to fall into sin?
Right.
You do not have to automatically fall into sin. Number one, I don't believe anybody really falls into sin. You know what I believe? I believe they allow themselves to be led down the road to the place where they don't have any possibility of return. You do it with your mind, with your thoughts, with your actions. You don't just simply fall one day and then you say, well, where did that come from?
Yeah.
The truth is this a process, man? It's something that takes place. Now, in this passage right here, Amalek comes along. Amalek is a type of the flesh. Moses, on the other hand, said, I'm going to stand on this hill and I'm going to hold up my arms and I'm going to hold that rod of God up. And what happened in this passage when Moses held that rod up? What happened to the armies? What did the armies do? They were victorious. What happened when he got weary and let down his hand? What happened to the armies?
Amalek
won. Now, is anybody bright enough to catch the correlation here? Can you see between the flesh and between the spirit, between the old man and the new man? What happens if you don't live in the new man? What's going to happen? Who's going to take control? The old man's going to take control. What happens if you just simply let your life go wherever it's going to go and you don't take any proactive steps to build the Spirit of God inside of you to strengthen the Spirit of God? What's going to happen? Who's going to take over? It's just natural. There's no vacuum inside of here. If you don't live by the Spirit, then the flesh is going to take control.
That's
as simple as that. The flesh is going to take control. Some people say, you know, I just don't know why. I just don't feel like serving God. I don't feel... Well, there's plenty of times when many people don't feel like it. Where you get to the place where it's... But you know, there should never be a time in your life where you stop fighting. Where you stop struggling for the new man. Sometimes you get tired. I know I get tired too. You ever read Romans chapter 7? Which I do. I don't do. That's what I allow, not that. That I do. Well, you guys know that. I had it memorized. Paul had that conflict inside of himself. He said, man, I see what I'm supposed to do, but I can't do it. And then what I hate, that's what I end up doing. And I'm sure you find yourself many times in that very same thing. And there are some people that have just flat given up and they say, well, I can't win, so I might as well just let it go. No! I'm saying right now, today, if Amalek is come up against, if the flesh is fighting against the Spirit, then put yourself on the side of Jesus Christ and on the side of the Holy Spirit and fight for what is good and right.
Amen.
If they would have let Amalek take control, they would have never got to the Promised Land. As long as Moses held up that rod, they were victorious. As long as Moses kept that rod up in the air, they were victorious. It seems to me that the key to the battle here, that the key to the Joshua down there fighting with that sword, you know, and the soldiers that are with him and getting those armies to get away from the children of Israel and get out of the land and beat them back, that the key was whether or not Moses kept that rod in the air. Seems like that was the key to the whole thing, was whether Moses kept that rod in the air. And so that tells me something about Moses. It tells me something that is very important for us as Christians. It has to do with prayer. It has to do with the weapon of prayer. What are the chances that a Christian is going to live strong without connecting himself to the source of the strength? What are the chances that you're going to be able to fight the flesh without any reinforcements from the Spirit of God? It doesn't seem like there are any chances at all. You look at Moses here. Now, when God delivered him from Egypt, God delivered him with his hand. But you know, this is a battle that you and I are going to have to fight. This is a battle that you and I are going to have to fight every day of our life. The battle for the flesh or the battle for the spirit. This is going to determine whether or not you're a godly Christian or whether you're just a backslidden Christian that it's not useful to God. That's not available to God. This right here determines whether or not you are going to be useful in God's hands. The conflict never ends. I want to show you a couple of things. First of all, if you notice about Moses, it said here that he lifted up his rod. And as long as that rod was lifted up, Everything was okay. The children of Israel were winning in the battle. It tells me that it's a conditional victory. It tells me that as long as that rod's up, that he's going to win. You know what I know about this fight that you fight in the Christian life? That it's a conditional victory also. I would say stop searching for the magic pill. Stop searching for that one magic phrase, that one magic thought, that little sprinkling of magic dust that's going to keep you from ever having trouble with the old man again. You know, I know some Christians are looking for that. They think that there's some secret, that there's some kind of a spiritual secret that if they just got that one little secret, they would never again have any trouble with temptation. But I want you to know, there's no little magic pill that you can take. There's no little sprinkling of magic dust that you can have that will keep you from ever facing temptation again, that will ever keep you from having to make the choices. Every day of your life, you are going to have to resist the devil. You're going to have to humble yourselves in the sight of God. You're going to have to do those things that God told you to do. I'm telling you, until you die and until God delivers this body completely out of this world, you'll never get away from temptation.
Amen.
That's not what I wanted to hear. No, but it's the truth. It's what's going to happen. So you might as well make up in your mind right now, are you going to fight or are you going to just lay down and roll over and die? Are you going to fight to be more holy? Are you going to fight to get some of those besetting sins out of your life? Are you just going to give up right now? I say it's worth the fight.
Amen.
Joshua can tell you it's worth the fight. Even so, he saw his entire generation go to the grave. For him, when he saw that promised land, it was worth the fight. And believe me, there are tremendous benefits to serving God. There are tremendous benefits to winning over the flesh. It's a conditional victory that happens every day. Now, what can turn the tide of the battle to your side? You've been fighting temptation. Maybe there's a certain thing in your life that's been holding you back and you're wondering, man, how in the world am I going to get victory? Well, what can turn the tide? The first thing I've already mentioned. The first thing is prayer. I'm convinced that we don't take advantage of prayer like we should. I'm so convinced that we are so shallow when it comes to prayer. The high school class, we've been dealing with the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. And I've been reading through that and I'm just ashamed at how I pray. You know, we have a tremendous resource in prayer. Look, if you will, at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. In verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from his prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep you? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You know what part of the prayer is that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer? Ever availed of his advice here? He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. That's tremendous advice. I'm telling you something. Don't walk through this world with your eyes closed. There are some Christians that are so naive and just so gullible. And they see everything around them and they don't see the dangers behind it. Listen, I'm telling you what, God wants us to be wise. God wants us to see what's behind temptation. He wants us to see what's behind those struggles, what's behind those pleasures. And he says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And I'm convinced we don't enter enough into this resource that God has given us. You know what he would do if we pray to him? He would give us strength. He would give us the wisdom that we need. He would give us all those things that we need if we just simply ask him. The first thing, have you ever prayed? When it comes to your temptation, have you prayed? He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. I'm telling you something. Prayer is not easy. I read a story about a man who said that he rolled out of bed and rolled into the presence of God. You know what? I think that's more the autobiographer's idea of what he did. You know, I don't know many people that roll out of bed and roll into the presence of God. You know what happens when you get up in the morning? Well, you know, your back is stiff, right? And your eyes are closed and knotted up with sleepy winks, right? And got all glued shut. And your breath is bad. And you're thinking already about what you got to do that day. And already you're off to a bad start because already you're thinking, oh. And the truth is you probably stayed up too late the night before watching TV. You watched the 10 o'clock news and you weren't satisfied with that filth. So you watched Jay Leno just to soak it up even more. And so when you went to bed, your mind was filled with nothing but the flesh. And those of you that watch Letterman, I mean, I'll pray for you. That's all I got to say. And maybe 1% of you said, you know what? I'm going to shut that off. I'm going to read my Bible before I go to bed. And my mom called one time and thank God, God by His mercy saved her a while back. And she was very burdened because she used to watch 10 o'clock news every night. She decided to shut it off and read her Bible. Well, she used to be able to stay up all through the 10 o'clock news, halfway at least through the monologue of Jay Leno, and then she'd fall asleep. But she would be 5 minutes in her Bible, 10:05, she'd be... She'd get up and she'd have the words on her cheek, you know. She said, Brian, what can I do? I said, keep falling asleep in your Bible. I said, what a better compliment to the Lord than to have His Word on your mind right before you went to sleep. Hey, I was trying to put a positive spin on it. Trying to encourage her to keep reading the Word of God. Well, you know, getting up in the morning depends a lot on how you went to bed the night before. You go to bed the night before and you've been fighting with your wife, you've been fighting with your husband, you've been griping on the telephone to a friend, and then you fall with that asleep in your mind? Or with all of your sin and your wickedness in your mind? Yeah, you're going to get up in the morning. I'm telling you what, from the time that you get up in the morning, it is a fight. Because you get up in the morning, the Spirit of God is there, Jesus Christ is there, and along comes Amalek, ready to resist you at every turn. And you've got to decide. Is this going to be a good morning for me, or is this going to be a bad morning? Is this going to be a fleshly morning or a spiritual morning? And from that point, you've got to decide what you're going to do. And so you lay the Bible aside. You go in and you spend 5 minutes brushing your teeth. You spend another, I don't know how long it takes. It takes a long time for you girls to put on your makeup and get everything all ready. But you don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't make provision for the flesh. You don't make provision for the Spirit of God to be able to work in your life. Well, no wonder you lose when it comes to temptation. No wonder before you're even out of the chute, it's over and it's done. Why don't you try an experiment? Why don't you get up out of bed in the morning, rub that sleep out of your eyes, put some cold water on it, get up maybe 5 minutes earlier so you've got a little time, take 5 minutes and say, Lord, today deliver me from temptation. Help me to do something that'll please you. I'm telling you, make a big difference. Start your day out with the Spirit of God. Now, there's some people who can go an hour, 2 hours in the morning. Most of us just don't have that time and that liberty. I'm not going to put any kind of time limit on you and saying you got to spend this amount of time, you got to read these many chapters. But if you start the day with God, it gives you a chance. Hold up that hand. Lifting up hands to the Lord. Trust Him. Now, there's another thing that added to Moses' success. Can anybody figure out what it is? He lifted up that rod that caused the children of Israel to win. But what happened to that hand? Oh, it got weary. I'm going to tell you something. For the best of us, for the very best of us that love God the most and that are as committed as all get out to the will of God, there are days when we wake up in the morning and we just don't care. I'll be willing to admit, maybe none of you have ever had this happen, but I'm willing to admit, I get up in the morning sometimes and I don't care whether a guy gets saved or doesn't. I don't care whether I do God's will that morning or not. I just don't care. My heart is cold. It's crusted over. And I get up with a bad attitude and I just don't care to change that. Well, does that ever happen to you? There are days when you are so spiritual you could storm hell. There are the days when you can't seem to open up the Word of God and concentrate on one verse. Well, what happened to Moses? He's got that rod in his hand. What happens? He starts to fall. He's getting weak. He can't hold it up. And because of that, he can't maintain. And so the battle is being lost. What happens next? He gets some help. Who comes along? Aaron and Hur. Oh, thank you, Lord. We had a low Sunday the other day because Lindell preached a message, said that you can sleep in the boat. He says, sit down, rest for a while, go to sleep, take a nap. A lot of people did. They took a nap that Sunday morning. But there's a lot of truth to that. I had to get him on that. But what did they do with Moses? Moses is getting tired. What did they do? Boy, they're tough in the Old Testament, man.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't bring him a folding chair, man. They brought him a rock. Come on, Moses. Plop down right there. There you go. That big old rock for you to sit on. Moses is tough. You don't mess with Moses. He sits down on that rock. And what do Aaron and Hur do? They grab those hands and they hold him up high. You know what? What was that phrase I told you right at the beginning? His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. He prayed. Prayer was a factor. But then thank God he got some help. You know, there's verses that I'm thinking of. I mean, they're just coming to me left and right. I think of one, Galatians 6:1. So if any man be taken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. And thank God when somebody's down, there's somebody spiritual. Thank God when there's somebody that's tired and there's somebody that's weary, the man or the woman next to him is spiritual.
Amen.
How do you think that you can survive without coming to church? And some people think coming to church means coming to a meeting on a Sunday morning and then leaving. No, church is a body. It's an organism. It's where we interact with each other, where we pray for one another, where we lift up each other's hands. And there are going to be days when the best of you aren't going to care and your heart's going to be cold. And that's when it's time for us to rise up and hold up your hands.
Amen.
Have you ever been down in sin and somebody's come by and lifted up your hands?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Some tragedy has hit your family and they've come and they've lifted up the hands. Now, don't you think Aaron and Hur were getting tired? Doesn't say anything about their hands. But I'm sure Moses, you know, because Moses is a strong man. He'd been lifting that rod all that time. He's got biceps and triceps and he's got big old arm. And you're holding up those things. Man, I'm telling you what, Aaron and Hur probably got a little tired too. You know what I know about helping other people out? That it's not always easy to do. It takes time and effort because for me to help you out, I've got to stop thinking about myself long enough to come and lift up your hands. And a lot of Christians just don't simply want to take the time. Oh, they're happy to talk about themselves and their problems and their burdens. But when it comes on you, then, man, they're just nowhere to be found. Do you lift up anybody's hands? You see, because you might be winning the battle today, but somebody else may not. They need you. Are you an Aaron? Are you a Hur? You go around and I tell you what we do. Christians are just ruthless. Somebody gets down and what's the first thing Christians want to do is destroy them. Oh, that's the truth too. Christians have fangs like you wouldn't believe. Arr, did you hear what Sister So-and-so did? That hussy, you know? I'm telling you what, the reason why she got into that is because you weren't lifting up her hands before. Nobody cared enough to go by beforehand. Nobody was burdened enough beforehand to find out what was going on. Nobody cared enough beforehand to go and pray.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you something. The church needs Aaron's and the church needs hers in order to win the battle against Amalek.
Amen.
If you don't want to be like all the other Christians in the world that are simply living in the flesh, you need to be lifting up those hands. Look at with just one verse with me in the book of Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 4. The Bible says two are better than one. And that's the truth. Two are better than one. Don't think that you're a lone star and that you're going to make it by yourself without anybody else to help you. And I'm by myself and I can worship God on my own. The truth is you can't. Now I heard a man one time and he gave an excuse. He says, well, he says, isn't a missionary do that? Doesn't he go out into a land and before he wins any souls to the Lord, he's out there by himself? No, I tell you what, most of the time he's got a whole entire church back there praying for him. He's not by himself. He's got Aaron's and he's got hers. The truth is that you need other people. It says here, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Why? He tells us what I just explained. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. There's a tragedy when a Christian falls and there's no other Christians around that care enough to help him up. You see, sin destroys terribly. We all know that. And Christians get destroyed because of sin. But you know, even at the farthest reaches of the sin scale where Paul said, we've got to deliver somebody unto Satan. What was his purpose? He said, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. He was looking even at that point for restoration at some point. And even when somebody has gone into gross and negligent sin, it is God's will that they repent and that they be reconciled and that they be brought back into fellowship. He says, woe to him that is alone when he falleth. Again, if two lie together, then they can have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You know, this is a standard survival technique. It just is standard thing. The army sleeping bags, they're zippered in such a way that when it gets so cold that you just can't hardly stand it, you can put two of those things together. And if a soldier is wounded or injured in some way or is having a hard time keeping his own body heat, you put another soldier in that bag with him and it warms him up and it keeps him alive. If two lie together, they can have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You got somebody who's wounded out there? Man, there's no way. I'm telling you something. The Bible works. The Bible fits. And this battle that we have for the flesh, we can't do it by ourselves. And you got to make a decision. Are you going to be an Aaron? Are you going to be a her? Because believe me, if you're an Aaron and you're a her, then it's going to come back to you. And there will be a day when your hands are going to get tired, where your heart's going to get cold, where you're going to need God. And then somebody else is going to stand up in open meeting and give a word that will encourage your heart. Somebody else will come by, or somebody you don't even know will just get burdened to pray for you all of a sudden because of the Spirit of God. And God will put His strength in you. Don't walk the Christian life by yourself. Stay as close to the pack as you can get. We don't have time to read it, but you look at Deuteronomy chapter 25. You know how Amalek attacked? Does anybody know? I read Deuteronomy 25, so I know. That's right. That's exactly right. They got the stragglers in the back. They got those who were at the back, the stragglers, back there. You guys know. I'm just kidding. No, I'm talking about the ones who stay away from the assembly. Who stay away from the pack, who aren't under the protection of the prayers, that aren't under the accountability of the saints, that stay out of that mess, and no wonder you get attacked. Stay close to the pack, because that's where Amalek will attack. He'll attack the stragglers. He'll attack those that are in the back. Well, back in our text, in Ecclesiastes, in Exodus, it said, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You see, prayer can turn the tide. Help from your friend can turn the tide. But you see, there's one more thing that we can't overlook that is vital and necessary to getting you the victory over sin. We just can't overlook it here, but it's necessary. Anybody know what that other element is? You got the rod held high. You got the men underneath holding up the hands. What else? Yeah, that's right. What do you think Joshua's sword represents? It represents the Word of God. You guys know the example. You know what Jesus taught us when he was in the wilderness with the devil? And every time the devil gave him an accusation, he said, it is written. Amen. I'm telling you what, if you don't avail yourself of the Word of God, you are missing a big fight in getting the victory over sin. You're missing a big part. You don't think you can do it without the Word of God? Look at Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's teaching. That's showing people the way that things ought to be done. And that's admonishing. That includes rebuke. Sometimes when your hand gets weary and it goes down, it's a rebuke that's going to lift that hand back up. It's going to be an admonishment. Other times it's going to be an encouragement. Teaching and admonishing one another in what? In psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. Well, now I'm going to plug the people that play the music here. You know what they used to do in Old Testament times? Before they had Kinkos? Before they were able to put so many copies of the Word of God into the common people's hands? They would sing the Psalms. They would take those Psalms of David and they'd put them to music and they'd sing those things. It was a common practice in that day. They would sing the Word of God. Now, what do you do in vacation Bible school? You get a bunch of these little whippersnappers together. What do? We put the verses to music, to some sort of a pattern, and they can remember it. If you just tell them, hey kid, memorize that. You know, he'll go home, he may or he may not, but you put it to song. I remember being 9 years old and learning the books of the Bible through song. I was a Catholic boy and I was taken to a vacation Bible school and they taught me a song that taught me the books of the Bible. I was the only Catholic kid in my Catholic church that knew all the books of the Bible. I could astound the priest. He didn't even know. But you know what? It was because of a song. It's because I got it into my head. I was able to sing that thing. You know, I don't really care much for the modern music. This modern charismatic type, you know, I don't want to step on any toes here, because if you listen to that stuff and you're blessed, that's fine. That's fine. But what I think a lot of the new music does today, I think it is so weak because it doesn't have enough truth in it. It's got some truth, but there's not enough. I mean, go look at some of the old hymns. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out it is splattered all the way through with the Word of God. Amen. Have you ever taken the time to learn any of the songs that we sing out of the hymnal that come from the book of Psalms, that come from different parts of the Word of God? You know, it sometimes has been the greatest pleasure for me is to sing the Word of God. Amen. Now, what does that do for me? It encourages my heart. Now, I can sing Waylon Jennings and I can sing all those guys, but they don't encourage my heart. They depress me. Mama and drinking and trains and all that kind of stuff. That does not encourage my heart. She left me and I thought, oh, she left him. Oh, that's terrible. Man. Or you get to play. I had a youth group one time where some of the kids brought this rap music with them. I couldn't believe some of the most ungodly music on the face of the earth. Full of cuss words and derogatory terms to women. And I mean, you're going to get blessed by that. That's going to give you the ammunition you need to go out there and fight the devil and win. You're out of your mind. You're stopping before you get a chance to start, man. You are cutting off every opportunity for victory over the flesh that you have. So I can't understand why I cheated on my wife. Well, I can. You've been listening to cheating songs. Those things gave you that idea, and then you went out and you cheated. Well, no, that didn't have anything to do with it. Yeah, right. Okay, right. You're so full of lust in your mind. Well, stop watching all that garbage. I'm telling you. Ladies, I can't be satisfied with my husband. Well, get your nose out of Harlequin romance and put your nose into the Word of God. Ask God to give you eyes that show your husband as that burning, bronzed hunk. Huh? Through the eyes of faith? It's possible. And then you won't cheat on your husband that night. I'm telling you, this stuff is practical. Because the truth is the Word of God is the reality. This right here is the reality. You know what the reality of the world is? You know what the reality of the flesh is? Broken lives. Broken promises. Broken dreams. You see, a man that lives his whole life and gets down to the end of his life and he's still without Christ, there's no hope there. There's no satisfaction there. I'm telling you what, it's one of the most dismal things that you can watch is to watch a man die in his sins. It is a tragedy. That's not reality, man. That is, devil will give you all kinds of promises and he won't fulfill any of them.
But oh, through the Word of God, devil, I know you're trying to tempt me with this. And I know you're really trying to make it look good for me. But it is written.
Amen.
But it is written.
Amen.
I'm going to believe what God says over what you're showing me.
That's right.
I know you're showing me all the kingdoms of the world. I know you're showing me all the power in them. But I don't care. It is written.
Amen.
That'll protect you from covetousness. It'll protect you from idolatry. It'll protect you from all of those soldiers of Amalek that come to draw you away. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Let me ask you a personal question today, Christian friend. How are you doing in your fight with the flesh? Are your hands steady? Are they strong? Are they lifted up? If not, if you need some help, get some help. Put your mind back into the Word of God. Bow your head and surrender yourself again to Jesus Christ. But whatever you do, you got to win this battle. You can't just let the flesh take control. You have got to win the battle and you have got to be spiritual. There is no option. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the story and what it shows us. Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us be faithful to you. I pray that you would help us to resist every lie that the devil has. Help us to believe every ounce of truth that you have. I pray today if there's a Christian in this room that's losing the battle with the flesh and is just going the way of the world, I pray that you would turn him or her around, that they would recommit themselves to living godly in Christ Jesus. I pray more than anything else, Lord, that you'd have mercy on those that are here that aren't saved. Lord, you said that you would save whosoever would call upon your name. And I ask today that that might be the case for someone in this room today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 249. God has laid anything upon you.